Good morning. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and consider Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 31. Paul writing says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now, God's purpose of redemption, while it leaves no room for loss of courage or hope, it affords no room whatsoever for man's presumption. If God has been pleased to set his love upon one, he does so unchangeably. It's not on the ground of any goodness whatsoever within any man, because sin is found in all men. But God's love is not set upon those that have no restraint of conviction, no warring against of sin, that continue to live and rebel in sin. There's harmony in all that God does for his people. In election, in predestination, in calling, in justification, and glorification, and in like manner, there's harmony and consistency in a man's justification before God, that is, to be declared just before God based totally on the imputed righteousness of Christ, and his sanctification, that is, to be made a partaker of his holiness, a new man, a new creation, a new birth. A man that is a believer has a character of a believer. While sin is still present with him, there is a striving after that which resists that sin. A believer doesn't experience the joy and confidence of being called of Almighty God without bearing the marks of holiness. Paul says, "And we know," not by just opinion or uncertainty, but by faith from above that convinces the new heart. We know that all things, that is, good things, what we would call good, peace and prosperity, health and happiness, or even bad things. He said all things, bad things that we would consider bad, war and poverty and sickness or death, all things work together. That is, they cooperate under God's direction and control to fulfill God's purpose. They work together for good, eternal good. Now, that doesn't mean that our temporal comfort or our temporal joy is going to always be seen or beheld, but the eternal good. Since our ultimate goal is to be with Christ and like Christ, all things are being coordinated to the accomplishment of that end. But to what group are these things promised? Well, Paul says, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, the promise of all these things, good or bad, working for eternal good, is not a blanket promise to all men without distinction, only to those who love God, as the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed him to be, the sovereign God, the God of purpose. Those that love God love Christ, love the Son, as the redeeming God, the surety of the sheep, the obedient servant to God's law and justice, the substitute for his people, the one who has laid down his life for the sheep, the satisfaction for the elect, as it's been evidenced in the resurrection and now reigning intercessor on high. Those are the ones that all things are working together for good. And here's the description of those that love God. First of all, verse 29 says they are foreknown. Now that word foreknow, for whom he did foreknow. These are those that have been loved, has selected, been chosen from the foundation of the world. Paul in Romans 11, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, that is, approved of. Wot ye not, or know ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That is, those that God has foreknown, the elect, the approved of. Those that God has particularly loved and distinguished or selected from mankind, but not according to any reason in them. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 6 to 8, the scripture says, For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. These are foreknown, and they are the opposite of those that the scripture says the Lord said, I never knew you. Those that had claimed their mighty works. Lord, haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done mighty works in your name? He said, I never knew you. 1 Corinthians 8:3, if any man love God, the same is known of him or approved of him. Now, there's no doubt, God knows as to his omniscience all men, but to know some in eternal love and grace, that is only reserved for his sheep. In the gospel according to John, chapter 10, in verses 14 to 16, the scripture says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ knows his sheep, he approves of his sheep, and they know him. They approve him, love him, look to him, cast themselves upon him. As the Father knoweth, approves of me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, even so know I the Father. These words of approval and love. Now, these that God did foreknow, the scripture says he also did predestinate. That is, to appoint beforehand. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, the scripture revealed that Pontius Pilate and Herod had determined to crucify the Lord of glory. But the scripture says in verse 28 of that chapter, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God Almighty predestinated the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, dying for his sheep. He did so at the hand of wicked men, but it was God's purpose. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 said, Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, to choose with idea of kindness and favor. In all places where predestination or predestinated is found, the ground for that appointment or approval is never found in the object, but in the Lord himself. Divine predestination is the determination that existed in the divine mind of God prior to the occurrence of that event. God has foreknown, chosen, predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of His Son, that is, that they might be like Him in character, in destiny. 1 Corinthians 15:49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. As the Lord Jesus Christ assumed our nature and thereby purified and exalted it, it is the purpose and will of God that the elect will partake of that purity, in part in this life, perfectly in glory. We shall be found to be conformed to the image of Christ. The conformity to the Son begins in this life, in our character. Now, obviously, we're not like Him, perfectly obedient as He was obedient, but there is a conformity to His image. This is the end of the reason for God saving a people. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the focus of all things. Have you ever wondered why? Why did God create this earth? Why did God create man? Here's the reason: that Christ's glory would be the great end of all creation and redemption. The end is accomplished by Christ being the firstborn among many brethren. He stands as the head and chief over countless multitudes who through Him are made sons of God. Christ is the firstborn of the Father concerning all God's elect, all God's Son. You see, they're chosen in Him. Christ is the firstborn of the Father in salvation of His elect. They rise in Him to die no more. And these that He has predestinated, them He's also called effectually. That is, that effectual call is the direct revelation of the gospel of Christ to the heart. To behold Christ is God's Messiah, God's atonement for sin, the fulfillment of every type, to have Christ formed in you by the Spirit of God. These people that God has predestinated, foreknown, He's called them, effectually called them. Thy people, Psalm 110:3, shall be willing in the day of thy power. They come. When it pleased God who separated me, Paul says, from my mother's womb, and called me effectually, powerfully, by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately, Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. These that He's called, He's justified. God treats sinners as being just totally for the sake of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That is, charged to them. God blots out the iniquity of those that He foreknows or proves of, those that He's predestinated, appointed beforehand to salvation, those that He's purposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, those that He effectually and powerfully calls by His Spirit and by the obedience and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Eternal glory is here meant. Paul has been speaking of eternal good, eternal inheritance, eternal glory. Our union with Christ in the purpose and view and sight of Almighty God places us already glorified in Him as our head and our representative. Friend, what can be said to these things? What can be added to these things? Until next Sunday, God bless you.